If you've never heard this before, I'm going to ask you to be open-minded about it, because you probably were taught different. But one of the things that I've had to do since God called me into ministry, since I have to answer for what I preach, everything that I've ever been taught, I've very carefully examined to make sure that I believe it. Because I can't answer at the judgment seat of Christ and say, I got this from Brother So-and-so, or Brother So-and-so said that. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to have to answer for what you reasoned out. And one of the biggest problems in our work is that man tends to be a man follower. And once he gets his mind set on what somebody else has taught him, he'll never change. I have never been like that, and I thank God for it. I respect the men who've taught me through the years very much. But I'm going to have to answer to Jesus for what I believe personally. And so I'm very careful when I go into a subject. Now, as I told you the first time I taught this, and I'm just going to review briefly here, I'm just going to hit the high points of what I covered the first day. I was taught as a boy that when I was saved, my name was written in the book of life. And that's what everybody believes. That isn't true. Because the names of all men and women were written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And when I went through the Bible, and I took every scripture in there that had to do with the book of life, and I put them all together to believe that when I received Christ as my Savior, that was the first time my name ever appeared in the book of life, is wrong. I'm sorry. It's just wrong. Now, I'm not going to do any violence to any of the doctrinal positions of Baptists at all here. But I'm going to show you something that you may find interesting. The book of life is a book in which God has recorded for the benefit of man's understanding, and I'm going to back this all up with scripture, every scripture in the Bible pertaining to it, his plan of grace in restoring all men to him in Jesus Christ through repentance and faith. His grace in salvation is uncovered when one realizes that every human being's name, who would one day come alive physically, was chosen by God to be saved in Christ Jesus, and as such was recorded in his book of life before he made the earth. That doesn't mean that man doesn't have a choice. Man has an absolute choice in this. He either chooses to accept Christ, whom God has chosen to save all men, or he chooses to reject Christ. When he chose to be saved by grace through faith in Christ, we are choosing what God has already chosen for all men before he made Adam. Now, in this book of Ephesians, which I covered at length, I'm only going to hit these two verses and then move on quickly. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I am absolutely certain that God wanted all men to be saved. And from the foundation of the world, he chose all men to be saved in Christ. But I am just as certain that God gives man a choice. And a name can be blotted out of the book of life. Now, people tend to think, well, once you're saved, your name can't be blotted out of the book of life. That's absolutely correct. And once you receive Christ, your name can never be blotted out of the book of life. Never, never, never. But your name has been there from the foundation of the world. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, with this in mind, I'm not going to cover the rest of this because I don't want to pull a John James on you and cover the same material and say, well, we've run out of time. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Now, if God would have all men to be saved, and he chose all men in Christ Jesus, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all men and women, no exceptions, to be testified in due time. When you reject Christ and you die, your name is blotted out of the book of life. But once you receive Christ and accept Him and make the choice to receive Him as Savior, your name can never, never, never be blotted out of this book of life. When children are born, they are not accountable for their sins until they reach an age of understanding, what we call an age of accountability, such that they can choose to either accept or reject God's testified choice for them. Once they receive Christ by their own personal belief in Him, they are especially saved in that their names can never be blotted out of the book of life. In 1 Timothy 4, 9 through 11, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men. In what sense? God chose all men to be saved in Christ Jesus from the foundation of the world. He is the Savior of all men. But especially, every child that breaks a woman's womb, every child that God has ever formed in a woman's womb, He is the Savior of that child. But He is especially the Savior of those that believe in that they have exercised a choice. If that child exercises a choice after it has passed the age of accountability and receives Christ, its name is a permanent part of the book of life and can never be blotted out. If a child dies before it reaches the age of accountability, it goes directly into the presence of God. But those who believe, having reached the age of accountability, He is a very special Savior to them because they have received Him by choice. Those children who go on, reach the age of understanding and accountability, and die in that condition after having been convicted by the Holy Spirit and not repenting and receiving Christ, they have their names blotted out of the book of life. These things command and teach. The believers in the church at Philippi were in the category of specially of those that believe, and as such could never have their names blotted out of the book of life. Those in this category have every reason to rejoice in the grace, the unmerited favor of God. So when you take a look at the church at Philippi, these people had received Christ. Their names were an indelible part of the book of life. It could never, never, never be blotted out. Ephesians 4, 3 through 4. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And that means they're there permanently. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. These were true believers in the church at Philippi. They had received Christ by choice. Christ had confessed their names before His Father, and they had therefore passed from death into everlasting life, such that their names would never be blotted out of the book of life. If you take the position that your name is put in the book of life when you receive Christ, and you don't acknowledge what I'm showing you, there are some scriptures in Revelation that will eat you up and spit you out. Like the named members of the church at Philippi, all true believers see Christ as the overcomer, and He overcomes the world living His life in them. Only blasphemy against the Holy Spirit causes a man's name to be blotted out of the book of life. That's the only way it can be blotted out. It's there from the foundation of the world. God, my name was in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And the only way it could ever be blotted out is if I committed blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Only blasphemy against the Holy Spirit causes a man's name to be blotted out of the book of life. So just what does it mean to commit blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, and who is capable of doing it? Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. When you confess Him openly as your Savior, your name becomes an indelible, permanent, eternal part of the book of life. Him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. At that point in time, your name can never be blotted out. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. That is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Now you say, well, that ain't what I believe. That ain't what I taught. I don't care what you believe and what you taught. I'm telling you, you cannot reconcile all these scriptures in the Bible about the book of life if you do not take this position I hold. I'm sorry, you just can't. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. A denial before men that Jesus is your Savior, the living Son of God and your Savior. If you die in that condition, your name is blotted out of the book of life. Now, you may not like that. You may not believe it. But your name is blotted out of the book of life. You say, well, that's not what I was taught. I know it's not what you were taught. But what I'm teaching is based on the Word of God. What you're believing was based on old fairy tales and folk tales of an angel writing your name in the book of life with a long quill when you received Christ. It won't wash in the scriptures. It just will not. And you've got to take all of the scriptures in the Bible on the book of life, and they all have to fit. All men's names remain in the book of life until they commit blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Only a lost man can commit this blasphemy of calling God's Holy Spirit a liar. Christ living his life in the believer as the overcomer makes it impossible for him to commit this unforgivable act. In 1 John 5, 4 and 5, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? The devils believe Jesus is the Son of God, and there are many people that believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So it's just believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Is that what saves us? Yes, it is. But when you talk about this word belief, if you're born of God, Christ is going to overcome the world in you. And if you're not born of God, I guarantee you he won't, and I guarantee you it's because he's not in you. We've had many, many people trot down this aisle and make professions of faith. We've had many, many people down through histories make professions of faith. But I'm telling you that if your belief in Jesus Christ is not a saving belief to the extent that you believe that Jesus alone has saved you and Jesus alone keeps you and your faith is in Christ to overcome the world living in you, then that word belief doesn't apply to you. Because that's not just a callous, that's not something that's just a little small insignificant thing. It's a deep type of belief. It's a real belief. It's a genuine belief. And I know some college professors that say, well, I believe Jesus was probably the Son of God, but they don't have their faith in him. They don't believe. They don't have a saving faith. I tell you what, if Jesus is alive in you, he's not dead. And the point that James keeps making is not that faith doesn't save. He keeps trying to tell you what kind of a faith saves. It's a faith that's alive in you and that Christ working in you does produce some kind of works. Now, it may be hit and miss and scatter load, and you may not be the most faithful Christian who ever lived. But the truth of the matter is he keeps bugging you and bothering you, and all your life he keeps trying to lead you into serving. And if that isn't true in your case, then, my friend, you don't have a saving faith in Christ. If you just come to church out of a sense of duty because it's time, and you never feel convicted when you don't come, something's bad wrong with you. And a lot of people have made professions in this church, been baptized, and then we've never seen them again. You say, well, you don't know whether they were saved or not. You're absolutely right. But I strongly suspect that a whole lot of them weren't. 1 John 4 and 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than is he that is in the world. If you have a saving faith in Jesus Christ, if you trust him and him alone to save you from what you are and to keep you by his power, my friends, you have him. And there's going to be a battle between Jesus living in you, your spirit, not your spirit, but the flesh, and the world. And if there's no battle, there's no one living inside you named Jesus. Because if Jesus is inside you, there is going to be a continual awareness that you need to serve him, there's going to be a continual guilt when you don't. And if you don't have that continual guilt and that awareness that you need to serve him, and coming to church is just a thing that you do because it's expected, my friends, you probably don't even know him. I'm trying to tell you that a saving faith is one that does overcome because Christ who lives in you is greater than the devil. Now notice, Revelation 3, 5, and 6. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Now this is a problem. You say, well, that ain't what my preacher taught me about what you're telling about the book of life. Well, I'm just going to look you straight in the eye and tell you, your preacher was wrong. Now, I don't usually do that. But this is something that caused me a whole lot of trouble and problems as a young boy because a lot of Baptist preachers fed me a lot of phony information on this stuff and told me that my name was written in the book of life when I got saved. And that's not true. It's always been there. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, I'll see you at the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to find out you were wrong. If a man's name cannot be blotted out of the book of life, then why even mention this? Look at it for yourself. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. If the possibility doesn't exist for a name to be blotted out of the book of life, pray tell me why on earth would a statement like that ever be made? Says, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. The potential has to be there. The possibility has to be there for our name to be blotted out of the book of life. You say, well, that's a lost man. Amen. A lost man's name is in there until he dies. And when he dies, if he hasn't received Christ, then his name is blotted out. Why? But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Because the person never confessed Jesus as his personal, all-sufficient Savior. That's why. Now, I want you to understand something, and I want you to understand it whether you like it or not. A saved person's name can never be blotted out of the book of life. I want you to understand that. So don't trot out of here and go back to your home church and say,
Brother McElmurray says your name can be blotted out of the book of life.
Some of you probably will. But the truth of the matter is, what I'm saying is, a saved person's name can never be blotted out of the book of life. So if you're going to tell your preacher what I believe, tell him that I said a saved person's name can never be blotted out of the book of life. And that doesn't disagree with what he teaches. But a lost person's name can. Now he'll say, well, a lost person's name is never in there. Then how come in Ephesians it says, written from the foundation of the world? And how come this scripture's here? I got fed a bunch of fairy tales about a book of life that was there at Ephesus and all this malarkey, and I checked it out historically, and it was just pure, connived, contrived stories to explain away that scripture. The truth is, a lost man's name is in the book of life from the foundation of the world, but if he dies without Christ, wham, it comes out. A saved man's name can never be blotted out. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's what the Spirit said to the church. Said to the churches. So, I hope you're open-minded enough to want to know what the Word of God says. I am, have been, and will continue to be. After the true Antichrist arrives on the scene, the time for choosing Christ will end for some. Those who choose to follow Antichrist will have their names blotted out of the book of life while they are still physically alive on this earth. That's coming, and that's real, and it's genuine. Now, I am showing you every scripture in the Bible that has to do with the book of life. And I'm showing you the only way they can be put together and all blend and make sense. Revelation 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, now notice, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Since the names were blotted out at the point of worshiping Antichrist, that's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, That's denying the true Christ and the testimony of God's Spirit. Their names at this point in time are no longer found written in the book of life. In Revelation 13, 8 and 9, that's a certain point in time. And their names, since the names were blotted out at the point of worshiping Antichrist, their names at this point in time, at that point in time which John is prophesying to come, are no longer found written in the book of life. And all that worship upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life, from of the Lamb, and the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. Since the names were blotted out at the point of worshiping Antichrist, their names at this point in time are no longer found written in the book of life, because while they're still alive, they have denied the living Son of God and have chosen to follow the counterfeit Antichrist of Satan. Revelation 17, 8. The beast that thou sawest was, now we've moved four chapters to Revelation 17, 8. The beast that thou sawest was, means he was alive, and is not, he died, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, shall be resurrected, and go into perdition, finally going into perdition, being cast into the lake of fire. That's the Antichrist. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. They shall be in amazement. Why? Because at this point in time, they have chosen to follow him, and their names have been blotted out of the book of life, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Now notice, when, in green, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when, at that point in time, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is, they choose to follow him rather than Christ. If at this point in time their names were still written in the book of life, one could state, now we're talking about at the time that Revelation 17 and 8 is actually occurring, which John, when he wrote it, he was in the future. If at this point in time their names were still written in the book of life, one could state whose names were written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. This could be stated because it had been there continuously. However, because their names had already been blotted out at an earlier point in time, it could truly be said they were not there from the foundation of the earth at this stage of the tribulation period. They, along with all others who willfully rejected God's choice of salvation and his promised seed, will be cast into the lake of fire at the final judgment, because their names were blotted out of the book of life. I'm sorry, and I wish I could continue to teach and preach that your name is written in the book of life at the instant you get saved. But what happens the instant you get saved? Your name, which is already there, becomes non-blottable, unblottable, permanent, indelible, and then it can never be blotted out. I'm not really teaching anything that's wrong or heretical, because all preachers believe that once you have been saved, your name can never be blotted out of the book of life. And I say, amen. The only thing that's different is that I'm telling you the name was there from the foundation of the world. And you're going to have a very hard time reconciling some scriptures if you think that it didn't appear there until you received Christ. It has always been God's will that every man and woman born put their faith in his Son. And he put all their names in a book, knowing all who would be born. When you receive Christ, your name, which is already there, becomes permanent and can never be blotted out. But once you pass the age of accountability, unless you choose Christ as your Savior, when you die, your name will be blotted out. Revelation 20, 13 through 15. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And because they were not faith, they were not trusting in the works and life and sacrifice of Christ, their works were not sufficient to justify them before God. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. I'm not afraid of the first death, because I'm already appointed to that, and there's no way out of that. You say, well, I'm going to be changed at the rapture instantly. Yeah, but you're going to instantly die to be transformed into a different state. So the first death I'm going to have to pass through. It'll be instant and sudden and quick, and there's no big problem. But it's the second death I'm afraid of. And I'm not afraid of it anymore because I've received Christ, and my name can never be blotted out. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. All those people who were there when they were born, their name was in the book of life. Had they died as children before they reached the age of accountability, they would have gone to heaven. But once they passed the age of accountability, they did not receive Christ. They would not accept God's plan of salvation. And finally, when they died physically and met their first appointment with death, at that time, their name is shoop, blotted out of the book of life. And at the great white throne judgment, it's not there anymore. Why bring out the book of life if your name was never written in it? Why bring it out? I think the reason the book of life is brought out at the judgment seat of Christ is to show them, look, you lost what God had chosen for you because you wouldn't accept God's plan of salvation. And the names are blotted out of those who do not receive Christ. Only those whose names are in the Lamb's book of life can enter into God's holy city. Revelation 21, 27, 1 through 7, and 22 through 24, and I'm going to close on this. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now that doesn't mean that if you work abomination or you make a lie, that you tell a lie that you can't go to heaven. But the only reason those people are accepted is because the blood of Christ covered their abominations, and it covered their lives. It covered their lives. And the only reason that I'm going to get to go to heaven and to enjoy the benefits of it is because of what Christ did at Calvary. That's the reason every baby that dies goes to heaven, because of what Jesus did at Calvary. That's the reason every person who receives his son goes to heaven, because of what Jesus did at Calvary and with his life. And the reason that men and women's names are blotted out of the book of life is because they purposely, mentally refuse to trust in Jesus to save them from what they are. So basically what I'm saying is this. When you get saved, your name will never be blotted out of the book of life. And that's what you already believed. And that's what I've always believed. But the one different twist on this, I believe that all men's names were written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. That's what you call grace, unmerited favor. And I believe you send yourself to hell. And I believe you are personally responsible for blotting your own name out of the book of life, because you will not trust in the one whom God sent so it could become a permanent part, indelibly inscribed, and you could have the assurance he'd never leave you nor forsake you. So I really haven't done a lot of violence to what you already believe. I've just shown you some scriptures that, quite frankly, I could never reconcile. And I tried hard to take those scriptures and make sense out of them by believing your name was written in the book of life for the first time when you got saved. What about children that are born? How do they go to heaven? Their name must be written in the book of life. You may say to me, well, that's different. Well, show me how it's different in the Bible. I've shown you something that isn't different, because I tell you that from the moment I was born, my name had already been written in the book of life. And when I was 12 years old, I accepted God's choice for me, and I made my choice, and I trusted Jesus. He's been there ever since. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. And I thank God for that. So that's the end of the book of life, and we got it all on one tape. Bob's hitting.